restoring balance in personal, religious, and civic life. This idea of balance is an ancient ideal. It's the golden mean of Greek philosophy, and it's found in the writings of Aristotle and Plato. Indeed, throughout Greek thought, moderation in all things is a bromide, a maxim, a proverb. Balance is a value not only in the Western world, but also in the East. The middle way of Taoism, sometimes referred to as the watercourse way, or the mean of Confucius. Indeed, the ideal of balance was one of the axial age notions that the Greeks shared with all the other ancient traditions, with the Vedic, that is Indian, and the Chinese, and with the Persians, too. Now, it's easy to lose balance, to veer from the middle path, as all the ancient traditions carefully warn us. The Greeks warn about hubris, the Europeans pride. But it's not only Aeschylus and Milton. Poets of our own day and age offer images of balance and the return to balance that we all do well to contemplate, like Jack Kerouac and Robert Frost's Birches. The fact is, people are stressed out and out of sorts frequently. Perhaps this has been so always, but it's clearly so today. My prescription: work, meditation, practice. Whenever I'm stressed, I kind of pull myself together and go, work, meditation, practice. See? Most of us are doing none of this. Instead, most of the time, we're running from one place to another, running to our jobs, to the child care center, the grocery, the mall, back home. Work, child care, grocery, home, one after another, to the next, and the next, and the next after that. And then there's financial imbalance. Income inequality is one warning sign. Debt is another. What's the cause? The whole economy is out of balance. My second cousin, Bill Hughes, recently retired after a successful 40-year career as a stockbroker in Los Angeles. The last time I visited his San Fernando Valley home, we got to talking about this idea of our culture being out of balance. "Sure, it's out of balance," said Bill, "and I can tell you why. The whole economy is way too dependent on the defense industry. And it's been so ever since the build-up to World War II, starting in 1939. Which is true. 80 straight years of Pentagon budget increases. Amazing. With the collapse of the Berlin Wall, many hoped that we'd finally enjoy a peace dividend. No such luck. And despite recent tax cuts, the Defense Department's budget continues to grow year after year. President Trump claims he wants to pull America out of Afghanistan and Syria, but it remains to be seen whether he actually will and whether that would lead to Defense Department reductions. As it currently stands, we now have a national strategy of wars without end to keep the whole thing going on and on. It's been close to two decades now that American soldiers have been fighting and dying in Afghanistan. This has been good for anyone shrewd enough to have invested in Halberton or Bechtel corporations. Well, not Bechtel, since that's not a publicly traded company. One has to be invited, like former Secretary of the Treasury and State George Shultz, to buy into Bechtel. And I'd sure be interested to see who has received and who has accepted these invites, but I digress. It's not just Afghanistan. A burgeoning defense industry has become crucial to maintaining the balance of payments. selling so many jets to the Saudis or the Colombians or any of the other Pentagon client states keeps the whole juggernaut careening along. It's good for America's balance, so-called, of payments. Actually, I don't think it's good. I think it's Orwellian. Feeding the war machine, which is the definition of out of balance, to keep up the balance of payments, such that today we have a $22 trillion national debt and a $600 billion annual trade imbalance, or trade debt, both of which mean, in simplest terms, that we're way out of balance. It's been this way for a long time, and it keeps getting worse. There are other places on the globe, of course, that are worse, far worse. Life in the occupied Palestinian territories in the last 15 years has been more and more and more out of balance. Compare this with the approach of the late Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, assassinated a quarter century ago by a fanatical white right-wing Israeli. Yitzhak Rabin saw through the craziness of any and all retaliatory strategies. A great warrior in his youth, Rabin sought in his maturity the middle way, the way of peace. As did Martin Luther King before him and Mahatma Gandhi, moral and ethical leaders of different faiths, but of one way, the middle way. Or consider Dwight David Eisenhower, another courageous and highly decorated warrior who moved dramatically toward peace and the middle way in his later years. Seeking a balanced middle way can be a dangerous strategy, especially in precarious times, because zealots on either side, like the ultra-Orthodox fanatic who killed Yitzhak Rabin, hate the peacemakers even more than their so-called enemies. Staying alive and keeping peace alive is not easy. You've got to be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove, as one great peacemaker put it. And you've got to keep your sense of humor. And remember always, work, meditation, practice. Meditation. Take time to be a swinger of birches daily to contemplate magical, imaginative reality. Practice refining your psychic balance until you can go up that tree just right, the way kids do, walking along the curb or wall or an embankment, playing in your heart and imagination some made-up game that, like Robert Frost, takes you up into the enchanted places of wonder and faith, and then softly back to earth again and your immediate relationships and responsibilities. Contemplating the responsibilities of earthly life, complementing them, rather, with sojourns of the heart and spirit, this is the middle path. There's a poetical quality to the middle way, and those who espouse it, no matter how honest, straight-shooting, and integral, they are often condemned. George Orwell and Albert Camus come to mind from the last century, both caring and loving and imaginative souls, and both reviled by fanatics on the left and the right. My thesis today: only from a balanced, moral, heartfelt position can life matter. Perhaps the greatest practitioner of the middle way was Jesus. He was too sensitive, too wise, too often to fall into one side or the other, or to condemn anyone to damnation. Jesus followed the golden mean. Upright and honest in personal behavior, he nevertheless welcomed sinners, tax collectors, and Pharisees alike to his table. And in the current era, he would welcome welfare mothers, Iraqis, AIDS patients, crackers, Hondurans, merry pranksters, charismatic Christians, Zapatistas, the whole panoply of our neighbors on every side. Many biblical scholars believe Judas, the zealot, betrayed Jesus because Judas had thought of Jesus as a political revolutionary, which he was, who was going to take Jerusalem by force of arms, which he never would have done. When Jesus' pacifism suddenly became obvious, Judas turned him over to the very reactionaries he sought to topple. In those days, there were many enemies of the golden mean, same as now. Try following the middle way today, and you're often laughed at. People tease you that you're a Kerouacian Buddhist. But remember, Kerouac and his cohorts were on the road, on the path, the middle path. They were bohemian, but they were seeking the middle path. Certainly, by Dharma bumps, they were. And we can learn something from them. In contemporary American life, as Kerouac aptly depicted, Aristotle's golden mean has been all but abandoned completely. What's respected instead is ideological purity. Don't talk to Nina Totenberg, Rush Limbaugh told the freshman GOP congressman in 1994. She is the enemy. This vilification and demonization of those with whom you disagree is guaranteed to prevent finding the golden mean. Plato contrasted two kinds of dialogue: heuristics and dialectic. Sadly, most of our conversations are heuristic. It's the same root as error. And such have nothing to do with heuristic dialogue has everything to do with convincing those with whom you're talking that you're right and they should listen to you. Marxists versus capitalists, Christians versus Muslims, East versus West, it's almost all heuristics. Except for those rare moments when we quit defending our points of view and begin searching together for the truth. That's dialectic. According to Plato and Socrates, dialectic is not only the path of truth, it's also the middle path of reason and open-mindedness and compassion, feeling with. In religion, as in life, the ends never justify the means, because the means is the end. In the words of peace activist A.J. Musti, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. The means, in this case, is the golden means. How we behave, how we treat one another is what it's about, not whose ideology is most correct or most pure. Trying to find the middle way, the place between the extremes on either side, is difficult. The Hindus say it's like walking a razor's edge. The prophet Jesus said as much when he said, "The gate is narrow and the road hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." In the end, it's clear to me that the way of balance is also the way of dialogue. One maintains balance by remaining in conversation with others. This, it seems to me, is the ultimate value of families and of longtime friends, their capacity to speak straightly to one another and tell you clearly when you've lost your way, you've lost it altogether, or you're all wet. My offbeat Aunt Fran, simply by talking with me and interacting with me lovingly, always helped me, helped her strung-out nephew come back into balance and down to earth, back in touch with people and places that had nurtured me and also with sources of personal creativity within. Maintaining a safe space for dialectic is one of the principal values of religious communities. Unitarian Universalist communities, especially because of our broad intellectual diversity, can be powerfully healing places. Places where we can practice listening to divergent points of view and allow ourselves to truly consider them with open minds. Where we can actually listen to and touch one another. Where we can be in right relationship. The way out of our current situation is not to destroy our adversaries, but to reach out to them. That's the middle way. To learn how to listen to one another and how to engage in dialectic, not heuristics. how to be in communication and not a shouting match, or worse yet, a shooting match. The middle golden mean means or requires communication, but allows very often and very much encourages personal reflection too. Yes, we need to talk lovingly with one another and to hold one another in check when we're losing or getting out of bounds. But we need also to escape from constant communication, need to be able to unplug, to be silent and meditative, to be swingers of birches. That is part of following the middle path too. Being in touch with others and being able to follow one's own heart and imagination to meditate and to work and to practice. The golden mean of antiquity and the path to wholeness today. Amen.